Welcome to this fourth Sunday of Advent. Christmas is now soon upon us. School has finished. Many Christmas parties have happened, and we are preparing to travel or to host travelers. In our worship this Advent season, we have reflected on how God's coming in Jesus releases us from personal, social, and historical chains that bind us. Freedom bound has been our theme. We have been challenged and invited to walk on paths of justice, mercy, trust, and today the path of love as we prepare to welcome the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ Child, into our hearts, minds, and ways of acting. As we prepare for worship, I invite you to hear these words and ponder them during the time of anticipation. They're the words beside me. From the smallest tribe of Israel, from a poor teenager from the margins, God is bringing real and unexpected freedom. The fourth Sunday of Advent explains what God's labor of love will mean for the world. The upheaval that Mary sings about is nothing short of revolutionary. I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletins, and you'll see the call to worship that is printed on the back. Our souls magnify you, our God. Our spirits rejoice in you, our Savior. You have scattered the proud and brought down the mighty. You have remembered your mercy, helping those in need and their descendants forever.
Praise
God's holy name. Let us pray together. God, who labors in love for the world, like Mary, make us bold to question angels. Like Mary, help us pray, your word be done. Like Mary, stir our hearts to ponder what you do. Like Mary, prepare us for the birth of Christ. Amen. I invite the choir to come forward, and they'll sing two songs at this point. Advent has power for us because its story begins in exile. We all know exile. We all are estranged from our best selves, our best lives, our best society. As I prepare to read the ancient words of the psalmist, which resonate in our hearts with words that we have spoken or we have heard a friend speak, I ask you, what makes you feel a stranger? What makes you feel alone in a crowded room, and even more alone when you're awake in the middle of the night? In the midst of these fears and chains which bind us, can we live in the hope of the coming Christ child? Can we find hope in the coming Christ child and sing beautifully like the choir has just done? From Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are throned above the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we might be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. I invite Lois and Terry to come, and children, I believe the last Sundays you have practiced singing with them. There will not be a children's story in traditional sense. You're going to be doing some singing, and I will have a story as a part of my sermon. So some of the younger ones who might not be singing, you're most welcome to come up and sit on the chairs as they are leading us in some caroling. Yep. Thank you, children, for leading us in those three songs. Receive these traditional words of Advent from the Gospel of Luke as the pregnant Mary visits with her older and pregnant cousin Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This time I have Laura and Kyria. I'm not sure I see Kyria. So the duet is becoming a solo, perhaps. Okay. We welcome Laura and Susan. Today, as we worship the birth of Jesus is near, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, our Luke's text gives voice to what God's labor of love will mean for the world. The upheaval that Mary sings about is nothing short of revolutionary. We often speak of it as the upside-down kingdom. It is a message not greeted by many as welcome news. The story of Easter gives witness to how many did not like the good news. Mary's song is a song of reversals. The kingdom of God comes to inaugurate in Jesus is not what the world and even we, the church, would expect a few thousand years later. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Upside down kingdom. These are hard words to wrap our minds around. What is the good news? As we gather this morning, we must recognize and acknowledge that most of us can be counted among the privileged and powerful of this world. We may not have chosen our station in life, and we may be taking steps to be living more simply. The fact that we can even think about this as a choice is a reflection of our privilege. We are materially comfortable, and Mary's words are direct. They give voice to power being shifted, to a leveling of power, and thus we are challenged to consider how the power and privilege we have can be used to bring hope and healing to others. In the midst of facing the power and privilege we have and the challenge to share with others in the upside-down kingdom, we also confront this season that the intellectual knowledge, that power, that privilege, material comfort has not brought us lasting peace and joy. This has been the lie of modernity and capitalism. Despite the things we have, we are still bound by chains which limit our freedom, which limit our experience of God's love, which limit our ability to open our hearts to love others and to receive the love that others so freely offer to us. We long for the one of peace to come and bring us peace, to bring our world and peace to our individual hearts. Freedom Bound has been our Advent and Christmas theme this year. The writer writes in the resource, Advent's liberating love comes for all of us. God longs to set all of us free, to free the poor among us from life denying effects of scarce food, inadequate homes, poor education, and stingy health care, and to free the rich from the desperate need to hold so tightly to material possessions and status. They continue, Advent is typically seen as a season of waiting, but with all that God has yet to do through us, we cannot be satisfied with a passive waiting. Our waiting is active. It is full of energy, lamenting, mindful of suffering, and it is hope-filled. Advent is a time set aside for spiritual renewal, a time to develop a more robust and resilient faith. And what does this mean? Well, right in the midst of the chains that bind us, we continue to cry out for deliverance, for the coming Messiah. And as we cry out, we begin moving forward toward a deeper realization of God's freedom as we wait. This is difficult to do in the midst of the chains that we face. A woman recently shared with me that in the midst of her grief and sadness, I had no desire these past weeks to decorate for Christmas. I forced myself to at least put up a tree and a few decorations. A faint, very faint expression of hope that freedom and joy might possibly return again, and that the Christ child will help to bring this freedom in the new year. This is what is symbolized beside me on this path of freedom. As we wait and have waited this Advent season, we begin walking on the path of freedom. As we walk, some of the chains begin to fall away. This has been acted out each Sunday of Advent as we have lit the candle and we have removed a chain and placed it on the cross, symbolizing that through the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus, we are freed. The kingdom of God enters in and brings freedom. With this in mind, I am going to change the order a little bit this morning. I guess it's the benefit of preaching and being the worship leader this morning. I can do that. And we're going to light the fourth Advent candle now and remove the final chain from the path beside me in the middle of the sermon here. So if this works, we have the reading beside me. And I guess the people on my right here, if you can be voice one, and the people on my left, if you can be voice two. Freedom is we'll pray these words together, this prayer of liberation. Liberating God, set us free. As we walk this road of freedom, give us more love, more hope, more peace, and more joy. Amen. Freedom bound. As we walk this road of freedom, give us more love, more hope, more peace, and more joy. These are the gifts of the kingdom which Jesus' birth ushers in. And I simply now will share some stories of how we historically and in the past few weeks have been living into this new freedom right in the midst of the chains which bind and hold us from fully embracing Jesus' love and power to transform us. As I share a few stories, items will be placed on the pathway to freedom as an expression of our hope, as an expression of our commitment to try and walk in the footsteps of Jesus this season and into 2016. So first I will share more of a historical story, and hopefully if this works, the pictures will be up on... I might need help trying out a new device, and it seems struggling to do the distance. So this book is called Henry's Freedom Box. One of the themes behind the scenes in our resource has been the African-American story, slavery, and of freedom. And this is a book out of that tradition. Henry Brown wasn't sure how old he was. Henry was a slave, and slaves weren't allowed to know their birthdays. Henry and his brothers and sisters worked in the big house where their master lived. Henry's master had been good to Henry and his family, but Henry's mother knew things could change. "Do you see those leaves blowing in the wind? They are torn from the trees like slave children are torn from their families." One morning, the master called for Henry and his mother. They climbed the wide staircase. The master lay in bed with only his head above the quilt. He was very ill. He beckoned them to come closer. Some slaves were freed by their owners. Henry's heart beat fast. Maybe the owner would set him free. But the master said, "You're a good worker, Henry. I'm giving you to my son. You must obey him and never tell a lie." Henry nodded, but he didn't say thank you. That would have been a lie. Later that day, Henry watched a bird soar high above the trees. "Free bird, happy bird," Henry thought. Henry said goodbye to his family. He looked across the field. The leaves swirled in the wind. Henry worked in his master's factory. He was good at his job. "Do not tear that tobacco leaf," the boss yelled at the new boy. He poked the boy with a stick. If you made a mistake, the boss would beat you. Henry was lonely. One day he met Nancy, who was shopping for her mistress. They walked and talked and agreed to meet again. Henry felt like singing, but slaves didn't dare sing in the streets. Instead, he hummed all the way home. Months later, Henry asked Nancy to be his wife. When both their masters agreed, Henry and Nancy were married. Soon there was a little boy, then another, and another. Henry knew they were very lucky. They lived together even though they had different masters. But Nancy was worried. Her master had lost a great deal of money. "I am afraid he'll sell our children," she said. Henry sat very still. Henry worked hard all morning. He tried to forget what Nancy had said. You can keep the same picture. Yep. Yep, back. Back. Perfect. His friend James came into the factory. He whispered to Henry, "Your wife and children were sold at the slave market." "No," cried Henry. Henry couldn't move. He couldn't think. He couldn't work. "Twist that tobacco," the boss poked Henry. Henry twisted tobacco leaves. His heart twisted in his chest. At lunchtime, Henry rushed to the center of town. A large group of slaves was tied together. The owner shouted at them. Henry looked for his family. "Father, father!" Henry watched his children disappear down the road. Where was Nancy? He saw her the same moment she saw him. When he wiped away his tears, Nancy, too, was gone. Henry no longer sang. He couldn't hum. He went to work, and at night he ate supper and went to bed. Henry tried to think of happy times, but all he could see were the carts carrying away everyone he loved. Henry knew he would never see his family again. Many weeks passed. One morning, Henry heard singing. A little bird flew out of a tree into the open sky, and Henry thought about being free. But how? As he lifted a crate, he knew the answer. He asked James and Dr. Smith to help him. Dr. Smith was a white man who thought slavery was wrong. And they met early the next day at an empty warehouse. Henry arrived with a box. "I will mail myself to a place where there are no slaves," he said. James stared at the box, then at Henry. "What if you cough and someone hears you?" "I will cover my mouth and hope," Henry said. Dr. Smith wrote on the box to William H. Johnson, Arch Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Henry would be delivered to friends in Philadelphia. Then he printed on the crate in big letters, "This side up with care." and you can keep this picture. Henry needed an excuse to stay home, or the work boss would think he had run off. James pointed to Henry's sore finger, but Henry knew it wasn't bad enough, so he opened a bottle of oil of vitriol. "No," cried James, but Henry poured it on his hand. It burned his skin right to the bone. Now the boss would have to let him stay home. Dr. Smith bandaged Henry's hand. They arranged to meet the next morning at 4 o'clock. The sun was not yet up when Henry climbed into the box. "Ready," he said. James nailed down the lid. Dr. Smith and James drove to the station. The railway clerk tipped the box over and nailed a paper to the bottom. Dr. Smith begged the clerks to be careful, but they didn't listen. They threw the box into the baggage car. And hours passed. Henry was lifted up and thrown again upside down. He heard waves splashing. This must be the steamboat headed for Washington, D.C. The ship rode smoothly, but Henry was still upside down, and blood rushed to his head. His face got hot. His eyes ached. He thought his head would burst. But he was afraid to move. Someone might hear him. "I'm tired of standing," someone said. "Why don't we move that box and sit on it?" said another. Henry held his breath. Could they be talking about his box? Henry was pushed. The box scraped the deck. Now he was on his right side, now on his left, and suddenly, right side up. "What do you think's in here?" said the first man. "Mail, I guess," said another. "I am mail," thought Henry, "but not the kind they imagine." Henry was carried off the steamboat and placed in a railroad car, this time head up. He fell asleep to the rattling song of the train wheels. He awoke up to loud knocking. "Henry, are you all right in there?" "All right," he answered. The cover was pried open. Henry stretched and stood up. Four men smiled at him. "Welcome to Philadelphia." At last, Henry had a birthday, March 30th, 1849. His first day of freedom. And from that day on, he also had a middle name. Everyone called him Henry Box Brown. Freedom bound, longing for freedom. I'm also mindful of all the refugees around our world in refugee camps on boats, arriving in our country looking for a new life. Our Wilmot Ignited planning team is busily working to prepare ourselves to welcome a refugee family. I suspect Arlene would agree that 30, 40, 50 emails went back and forth and a 2.5-3 hour meeting together. Many conversations, active waiting as we anticipate and prepare to welcome. At the Santa Claus Parade in Plattsville, this letter was handed out with a candle to parade watchers, and on the letter is written these words: "A peace candle originated in Russia in 1986 when an elderly woman asked a visiting minister to take a candle as a symbol of peace back to his home in the United States. The church, upon receiving the candle, decided to pass candles of peace on to people in their neighborhood and around the world. In November 2014, a peace candle was brought to our congregation. Upon receiving, we committed ourselves to passing on candles and prayers for peace. Today, we are delighted to give you a peace candle. We acknowledge that our world often feels dark, that Christmas, a joyous celebration for some, can feel like a very strained experience for others. Words of peace, hope and joy can feel empty, but it is our hope and prayer that we all will experience a moment of peace and hope during this Christmas season. It is our prayer that peace will spread far and wide into all homes, workplaces, neighborhoods, and into our world. Christmas blessings to you and your family from Nith Valley Mennonite Church." And I haven't mentioned it much in the past months. There is a basket with a letter and a few candles in it that sits every Sunday at the back, either on the table or on the little shelf to the right. And you are continued to be encouraged, invited, if you have a visitor with you, to give them a candle to take back to their community, or if you know you're going to a different community, that you take a candle from us and pass it on as an ongoing expression of active waiting and commitment for hope and for peace. During the Sunday school the past weeks, we busily waited for Christ's birth in a variety of activities. A group gathered to fold peace cranes, finishing the work which was started during summer worship services when we gathered in the basement, continued at the church retreat, and then, finished these past few Sundays. Matthew and Faith are bringing two strings forward to place on the path beside me. The origami peace cranes are a symbol of peace. As we folded amidst the frustrations of making mistakes, we were expressing a prayer for peace, confident in the Prince of Peace. The cranes are strong in groups of 100. We now have made 1,000, and they will be sent to the Saduku Monument in Seattle as a sign of our commitment to pray and work for peace. Sasaki Saduko was a Japanese girl who was 2 years old when the American atomic bomb Little Boy was dropped on August 6, 1945, near her home, next to the Misasa Bridge in Hiroshima, Japan. Sadako, a 12-year-old girl dying from leukemia, began folding these peace cranes, inspired by an ancient Japanese legend that if you fold 1,000, you are granted a wish. Her story is told in the children's book, 1,000 Origami Cranes. And it is to this day a symbol of innocent victims of war and at the same time a hope for peace. At the foot of the statue is a plaque. You can't see it right here, I think, because it's covered by the cranes. And it reads, "This is our cry, this is our prayer, peace on earth." This is the prayer of the psalmist. This is the prayer of Mary. This is the desire of Elizabeth's heart and the baby within her. May it be our desire as well today and in the year to come. Finally, since the summer, we have collected milk bags filling the office downstairs. And Alan and Lorelei can bring one up to sit close to the path here. We have a few finished milk bags. One website explains that these bags offer people without beds an invaluable, durable, and washable alternative to sleeping on the often cold and damp ground. Not only can these milk bag mats provide comfort as a bedding alternative, but they've also been used by healthcare professionals as a make-ready substitute for an operating bed or table. Our mattresses will be added to those made at Isora and others and sent to Haiti through the Gleaners organization. Advent 2015, Christmas season that we are now entering, freedom is coming. The restless prophets of old, John the Baptist, Elizabeth and John, Mary and Joseph and Jesus himself, sing the same song of God's longing for mercy and justice for all. Will we this season join them singing on the paths of justice, mercy, trust, love, service, and inclusion? Alive in the Spirit, this Christmas season and in the coming year of our Lord 2016, may we become communities of joy and peace, communities sharing God's song of grace with the world. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. I invite Tarik to come forward for a theme song which we have sung during this season.
Likely everyone's already turned to their theme song for Advent season, 109 in the green Sing the Journey book. Today what we'd like to do is we'll sing the first verse with the piano. The second verse I'd like the ladies to sing, so the ladies' verse is going to be the verse speaking of hope. And while they're singing, I'd like all the men to hum. Okay, and we'll be doing that a cappella without piano. The third verse, speaking of peace, I'd like the men to all sing in unison while the ladies hum as our background, again without piano. And then all of us as congregation along with the piano will sing the verse joy. And because this week's theme is the path of love, we're going to sing as a fifth verse today. We're going to go back to verse 1 speaking about that there is more love. Okay? Is that clear? Very good. Let's please stand. I invite the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Let's pray together.
God of great wonders, we join with you in the joy of this season of giving. You gave us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You give us life and breath. You fill the world with beauty, our hands with bounty, and our hearts with the desire to give. Accept these gifts and ourselves in service always, in every season. Amen. If there is an announcement or two that someone has to make, I invite you to do that at this point.
This is an invitation to all who are here. As you've heard, the last four Sundays, or last three Sundays leading up to this Sunday, we have done several activities. One of them was preparing for a wonderful coffee and treat time following the service. So we will gather together downstairs for the treats that we have all made for each other. And then we'll do that for about 20 minutes. The adults can linger and the children can still gather in their Sunday school times for a little bit of time. Saying Merry Christmas to their Sunday school teachers. So please feel all invited to come downstairs and enjoy the treats that we have prepared.
And yeah, we'll move into our sharing time. The one thing I would add, and it feels good to share it as much in this time, simply would be I referenced in the sermon, as far as the process of welcoming the refugee family, the bulletin announcement is still there. It gives you the variety of places where one can contribute. If you've got interest in different areas, from some furniture to, you know what, I think I could really give my time to be one of those people that's on call in a schedule of helping to support by driving, whatever it might be, Arlene and myself are kind of your contact points into the planning team of the four churches. So definitely continue to feel convicted and challenged about how you might kind of plug into that system and of support and welcoming, and then connect with us. And many people are working away, and many people thank you for different offers of from furniture to ways of helping and all of those things. So very much appreciated, and we continue to work. I know right now there's two potential places that might be there for housing. which is exciting. I mean, that's the first priority right now is to try to secure housing, and a variety of people have been at meetings and are doing some of the work behind what are ESL opportunities. If they would settle in Hamburg, what are the ways to coordinate the supports with the region around giving them the best chance to have success academically and all of these things. So yeah, it is exciting to continue to be mindful of more of the ongoing prayer for that particular family and just all the families that, like that family, 96, so 19 years in a refugee camp. There are many, many families who are fleeing right now, but also many families where that has all the children know is a refugee camp. So we continue to be thankful for our good fortune and also feel convicted for continuing to share peace, love in any way that we can. Is there other joys or concerns you'd like to share?
I think this is a joy I would like to share, and followed up to the story. It was nice to see Grandma M, as we call her, in our midst today, because the peace candle came from the church that she was a pastor at in Keswick, and McKeely brought it to us. So sometimes I think it's nice to share with the people that you know that the candle is still traveling and we're still all praying for peace. So thank you, McKeely, for bringing it here, and we passed it on.
I had a moment of, I thought that was the case, but I wasn't sure. I'm getting older, I guess. I'm not always trusting my memory. So.
After 16 months of me being on the phone and driving Doug everywhere, he got his license back on Friday.
Ah. Let us take time to pray together. God, you created this cold and dark time of waiting, where the sun is far away and our parts of the world sleeps. Thank you for trees whose structural beauty is revealed in nakedness, and for evergreens giving us pleasure in this gray season. Thank you for snow blanketing the earth in white. Thank you for all the animals snug in their winter beds, and for birds which are traveling from Canada to tropical places. Thank you for the harvest whose stored bounty we still enjoy, root vegetables, apples, and even spring's harvest of maple syrup. Thank you for the dark of night and all the stars of heaven. Thank you for the sound of the wind. Thank you for the warm houses and comfortable beds. Thank you for Advent, this time of darkness where we wait for you. This season we are particularly waiting for peace in the Middle East. There is so much unrest and violence from Syria to Gaza to Iraq. God of grace, where is your Prince of Peace? Help us to find our way in the dark. Give us light. Give us leaders who can see the light. Thank you for our government and for the political stability our country enjoys. Give our Prime Minister and his government wisdom as they make far-reaching decisions about foreign policy, foreign aid, and the environment. There are also places in our own lives where we walk in darkness. Forgive us for the times where we have chosen darkness, chosen cruelty, chosen meanness, chosen stinginess, where we have not extended love where we had the chance. Give us opportunities this week to apologize to people where we need to, so that we can enter the Christmas season at peace within our families, our co-workers, our neighbors. For those among us who suffer from sickness, grief, depression, bring your comfort and healing love. We pray for the family that we are preparing to welcome. We give you thanks for peace candles which have been given to us and been passed on as a continued expression of hope for peace. We give you thanks that Doug has been able to get his license back again and that return of freedom which that brings. There is so much in the midst of this season that we can pause and give you thanks for. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us, even in this dark season of waiting. Amen. Invite the choir to come forward.
Joy that was Mary's. May our soul magnify the Lord.